You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday. Of course, losing the voice right away. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire, through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we're going to talk a little basketball. We're going to talk a little Jim Harbaugh, all that kind of stuff. Before we get into it, today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Experience the game like never before with Sonos Arc, the premium soundbar. I'm not smart. TV, for TV, movies, music, gaming, and more. Visit Sonos.com to learn more. Really nailed it right out the gates. back from the Disney Experience Part 2. So very excited about that. We're just trying to get acclimated here. There's not a lot going on, which is kind of the weird thing. We got basketball, obviously. That's heating up, which is one of the reasons why it is worth deserving to talk about. But let's talk about Jim Harbaugh stuff, and then we'll spend a little bit more talking about basketball afterwards. But as of yet, Jim Harbaugh has not signed a contract, as far as we know. And he's out on the road recruiting. He's been out there doing stuff. He's been out visiting people like Luke Montgomery. He's visited some commits. Went and saw Damani Dent, I believe, and while I was down in Florida. So he's out in the area. He's out and about. He's telling people there's nothing to worry about. But yet, he still hasn't signed anything. Now, while I don't think it's necessarily cause for concern, considering a year ago, just over a year ago at this time, I don't have the date, but I just know it was in like mid-January he finally signed his contract. Jim Harbaugh's on Jim Harbaugh's time, so it doesn't seem like it's necessarily like, hey, you know, the things that we might point to and say, here are the things that correlate, don't necessarily actually, those dots that we connect might not actually line up. But it does seem like he is waiting for the Raiders to do something. And there are reports that maybe, just maybe, he's not the Raiders' top guy. Pointing to Chris Ballas on the Wolverine.com, on their forum, he says that that maybe Sean Payton, right? So there are certainly some openings for some other guys to get involved. There's also been the talk about maybe it's Josh McDaniels. You know, there's different, or that's Denver, I think. Well, no, he came from Denver. I don't remember which team's which. I'm not paying that close attention. I've been jet-setting all about and Disneying and all those things. Nonetheless, it doesn't feel like it has the hype behind it as it did earlier. And we always have to keep in mind that Jim Harbaugh is on Jim Harbaugh time. Right? Like, if he doesn't feel like, we might feel like, hey, you need to get this done. And there are reasons why we might feel that way, whether it's just the comfortability factor of being like, all right, we know who Michigan's head coach is going forward, or it's the recruiting factor, the fact that there certainly are people out there negative recruiting. So you have to imagine Lincoln Riley's talking to Josh Connerly, 5-star out of Rainier Beach in Seattle, and saying, hey, look, we just signed. We're good to go. USC, we're about to turn it around. And yet, Jim Harbaugh hasn't signed. You don't know who your coach is going to be. Now, it'll all be rectified should he sign, right? Because anyone who's negative recruiting, that can only last for so long. But you hope that it doesn't affect this late signing period in February, that it doesn't go that far. He needs to make a choice. He needs to make a decision for the program. Because right now he's somewhat hampering the program in the sense of no one exactly knows 100% what he's going to do. Reports out there that his friends don't know what he's going to do, and that seems evident by what I've seen from some of his friends tweeting. But you don't want to hamstring the program. And if he does leave, I mean, he's damaging the program in a lot of ways. Because, yes, all the good that he did by winning the Big Ten, beating Ohio State, and all of that stuff could be undone by suddenly there being a coaching change. And if it's internal, I said this on the M Zone earlier today, it's like, well, if it's internal, How many coaches stay? How many go with Jim Harbaugh or take other opportunities? Suddenly, you're looking at a new coaching staff. If you do get the internal guy and you're able to keep everything together, is it an interim basis thing? Do you give him a long-term contract and say, we're just going to ride with you? You say, hey, Mike Hart, we want you to be the coach. We want you to be the coach for the next 7 years, 5 years, whatever. And then you still have this situation where recruits are going to wait and see, right? They have voracious recruiters, but recruits are going to be like, well, we knew that they could win the Big Ten and go to the college football playoff under Jim Harbaugh, but we don't know if they can do it under this guy, right? So if he does depart, he's really hamstringing his alma mater by taking his sweet time. And I understand he's maybe waiting for an some kind of availability that isn't 100% there for him yet. But the way that this is going, he needs to be back, because otherwise there's a lot that just isn't sitting right. And a lot of things that can, you know, it can impact recruiting 2022. You could have kids that already signed that say, hey, I want to transfer already because I came here to play for Jim Harbaugh. You have 2023 guys that were probably, you know, maybe looking at it and saying, hey, I wanted to come there. And now they're like, I want to wait and see while another school slips in with a little bit more stability. So he needs to figure out what he wants to do, and he needs to do it relatively soon, because for the moment, it's not, it's really just not great. So, but we have to keep in mind, he's on his own time. He does things on his own terms. He doesn't have an agent. It's for these things that we can sit there and say, well, he's waiting for the Raiders. He's doing. He might not be. He might be waiting for something completely different. He might not be waiting at all. He might just be like, oh, I'm going to go on the road. When I come back and do this and that, then I'll sign, because I just want to give it this time, right? But nonetheless, it doesn't mean that that's that innocence that may be accompanied with this entire situation, that doesn't mean that that's a good thing. So he needs to figure it out sooner than later. All right, let's move on, talk a little basketball, and then if we have some time, we're going to talk a little bit about some undue expectations of a school. I think is just weird. I constantly see it, and I just think it's bizarre. So, hey, Locked On Wolverines listeners, there's an incredible app for everyone who buys gas needs to know about, Get Upside. My listeners are earning cash back for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use the promo code SCORE for 25 cents per gallon or more on your first fill up cash back. Don't pay full price of the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use the promo code SCORE for 25 cents per gallon or more on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a year in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use the promo code SCORE to get 25 cents per gallon or more cash back on your first tank. That's SCORE at Get Upside. All right, let's continue on here. Let's talk a little basketball, because they have been doing it, and it seems like things are kind of turning around ever since the Illinois game, the Illinois loss, in which Michigan was incredibly shorthanded and made it a game for a good three quarters of it. Maybe a little bit longer. Got a little floaty here. Problems of doing things in a basement, which I know you can't tell if you're watching. But nonetheless, a win against Indiana, Michigan's ninth straight win, I believe, eighth or ninth. Weirdly hard to pull up basketball head-to-head, you know, just for ease of what have you. But unless you just want to do it manually, which I know ain't nobody got time for that. Indiana was undefeated at home, 12-0. Now they're 12-1. They were 14-4. They're now 14-5. Michigan now is at 9-7, I believe. So with a win over Maryland and this one, and then they've got Northwestern coming up this next week, things are kind of coming together. But what I really liked about this last game is that Michigan not only got a quadrant one victory, which it desperately needed, it played the way that I think we were constantly thinking that they were going to be able to play all year. We finally kind of saw that complete performance. We saw it get done on the defensive side of the ball, or the court rather, but more so on offense when you had four guys really just kind of assert themselves at different points in time during the game. Well, really two at one time at the end, and it all started with Musa Diabate getting eight quick points, helping Michigan get out to the 16-point lead. And then when Indiana started kind of storming back, broke it down to a six-point lead, it was Terrence Williams that kept them at bay. And then in the second half, Caleb Houston and Hunter Dickinson really flexed. So that's exactly what you were hoping for, exactly what Michigan needed, and it came at kind of the perfect time for the sake of this is the type of thing that I've been saying, at least to myself. Maybe not. We haven't talked basketball here much yet this year, but it's one of those things that I've been kind of saying to myself is, you know what, you think back to, like, I think it was 2018, maybe it was 2017. I'm not really sure what year it was. I'm pretty sure it was 2018. The 2017-18 year, when Michigan basketball just, it wasn't very good until the end of the year. We're talking the plane crash year, right? I remember they were just, it, going to games was like pulling teeth for me, at least. And I remember going to the Ohio State game on a Saturday night, and Michigan had no business losing, but yet it did. And then things just kind of hit, and we were in February, and it started to hit. And it's they went from being a team that looked like they weren't going to be an NIT team to being a team that that won the Big Ten tournament and went a couple rounds in the maybe that was 2017. I don't remember what year's which, but still, I that kind of is what this team starts this kind of feeling like, in the sense of it's one that just needed to figure some things out, and certainly the hot shooting was incredible, and that's what has been desperately needed, because yep, still got that cough. It's one of those things that desperately been needed, because we haven't seen the team go out there and shoot the way it just had, right? It's been very intermittent, and finally we saw them go and get threes at a very high clip. It seemed like they couldn't miss for a while, 7 for 9 at one point, I believe. But then they were just making smart decisions, really, the first half really taking care of the basketball. It kind of fell off a cliff a little bit, but they still had a positive in assist to turnovers, because the assists, they were really looking for the open man. Hunter really asserted himself. They played with a little bit of violence on the offensive side, which I thought was important, and really just found lots of little soft spots. And I liked defensively how they switched between man and zone really at the right times. And it just kind of seemed like this was a moment, right, where with the energy and the aggression and the smart choices, that we started to see some of these guys really kind of come into their own. Devontae Jones really looks a lot more comfortable at the point guard position. We know we knew how difficult John Beilein's offense was. I think we can probably afford the same type of thought to Juwan Howard's offense. So it seemed like it took him a little bit of time, maybe a little bit longer than Mike Smith, right? To get going, and a really good point brought on by the announcer is that 76% of the three-point shooting from last year was gone, so they just had to find it, and we're starting to see some of these guys step up. We're starting to see Terrence Williams step up. We're starting to see Caleb Houston get some confidence. We're starting to see Musa Diabate really shine. I'd like to see him shine a little bit more throughout the game. I think having him start and having Johns come off the bench might be the way to go. He could be your Sean D in a way, but from the from that that forward position, which, I mean, Sean D played too, but he was kind of a combo guy, if I recall. My memory when it comes to basketball is awful, as you can tell. But nonetheless, I think that this is a situation where if Michigan, can not have a letdown, they should beat Northwestern. They obviously have a lot more talent. And then go into East Lansing on Saturday at 12:30 at the Breslin Center and find a way to get a win, which is not, out of the realm of possibility. Things have turned around in a hurry, because the thing is for as bad as Michigan was for a lot of this season so far, it still is one of the most talented rosters in the entire conference, if not the country. Remember, like, this was I remember being at the Michigan basketball media days, and We were talking like, could we see a five freshman lineup and thinking like that was a legitimate deal. And it just they just hadn't matriculated as quickly as we had maybe hoped. So, and they needed him to because they have a lot of youth. And so if some of these guys can really start to come on, Kobe Bufkin, who played a bit, Frankie Collins, who played a little bit, not too much, but we can get some of the see some of these guys really start to take that next step, then all bets are off. Michigan could be suddenly a where when it looked like NIT maybe wasn't even in the card, suddenly maybe we're talking about a tournament team, but they're going to have to make a run. It's going to have to be a game-by-game situation for the Wolverines. All right, let's move on here. And I want to talk about a just a team that gets the benefit of the doubt, and I don't get it. So I just want to get into that. But BetOnline would like to wish you happy new betting year as we continue the march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering for 2022 new year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. To sign up today and receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Also want to tell you a little something about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. If you don't know what it is, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's low calorie, low carb, high protein, everything that you want. They're absolutely delicious. The coconut brownie chunk is my personal favorite, along with peanut butter brownie. Those are kind of some special flavors that rotate in and out, but they have some others that are regulars, like almond coconut, almond toffee, that are just phenomenal. And the great thing is I can be a glutton. I can have two at a time. I do it all the time, and I still feel better about it than having a Metrics Big 100, just one, obviously, of those. But nonetheless, you can do that and still feel good about your macros if that's the type of thing that you track. But anyway, go to built.com, but use the promo code LOCKED15. That's built.com, promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your next order of Built Bar. Note that I put my money where my mouth is. I have bought dozens of boxes, so give it a shot if you are in the market for a healthy snack or protein bar. All right, let's continue on here. Finish us out with just some simple thoughts. We're keeping this short and sweet on a Monday for the most part, just because it is Monday. It's a lazy Monday with this, for me at least, with the snow and all of that. I miss Florida so much already, which I'm going to be going back, but not to Disney, next month to visit my grandparents, which I'm excited about. But nonetheless, speaking of warm weather locales, it's funny to me when I look at, like, there's all these too early look aheads to 2022. Michigan's kind of in that mix, but not given as much love as some other schools that tend to do worse than Michigan, but for some reason always get the benefit of the doubt no matter how bad they've been. And that school, and I understand it has a new coach, there's a lot of excitement that is currently getting that, although that love, is USC. I was looking online earlier today and I saw like a too early thing. I think it came from 24/7 Sports, and they had USC as likely being better than Michigan this next year, which to me is insane. And I understand they have a path of much lesser resistance in the Pac-12, which certainly helps them. But we do this with USC, and we used to do it with Texas, but now we're not as much, based off of what just happened. But USC went 4-8 last year. 4-8. Their wins were against Washington State, Colorado, Arizona, and San Jose State. The year beforehand, USC, they did go 5-1 in the shortened schedule. The only loss was to Oregon, so okay, fine. But it's not like they played at anyone terribly of note, really. Arizona State, I guess, Utah. 2019, they were a four loss team with losses to BYU, Washington, Notre Dame, and Oregon. That's three of those four teams were ranked teams. Okay, fair. And they lost to Iowa, got destroyed by Iowa in their bowl game, the Holiday Bowl. 2018, I'm just gonna keep going back here. We're talking about a 5-7 team. And this is only 2 years removed from them being, you know, the next best thing out there. They lost to Texas. They lost to Stanford. They lost to Utah, Arizona State, California, UCLA, and then to Notre Dame. And then in 2017, this is as far back as I'm going to go, that was the last, like, pretty good year. They lost three games, one of them being the bowl game. And they looked like they were in the championship game as well, but they lost in the Cotton Bowl to Ohio State, which I don't even remember that. But 2017, okay, yeah, I remember that year now. But they lost to Notre Dame and Washington State that year. It's the last time. But when you look at what they've been compared to, like, Michigan, like, we act like Michigan as a country, like, Michigan's like, well, you know, Like, I thought that they'd get a little bit more credence for beating Ohio State the way it did and for going to the playoff. And I understand it didn't go very well, like, against Georgia. But, I mean, come on. Same outlet, 24/7, said Michigan's going to go 10-2, which, I mean, fair, okay. You think they're going to lose to Ohio State. And I'm guessing Penn State, because that's just always, for some reason, Penn State's right there with USC in the thought that they're going to be amazing the following year. I mean, I remember the year before with the record that I just brought up, there was the 52-49 win over Penn State for USC. And it was like, oh, look at these two teams. How good are they? They are so good. And we're living off of that. And I think one of the weird things is Penn State tends to get this love that Michigan doesn't even get. And for beating Ohio State in 2016 and losing to USC. USC has been a dumpster fire for the most part. I understand they were bringing in Lincoln Riley, lots of enthusiasm, not exactly a tough conference, but, like, we've been through this before. We've been through it with Texas, kind of a similar situation, right? We have constantly been through it, and yet it just constantly seems to be a situation where it's like, oh, no, you don't understand. They are going to be elite finally. But then you've got Michigan, which is just like, they are coming off of this New Year's, not just New Year's Six Bowl, but college football playoff appearance, losing, yeah, half the defense, but bringing back the majority of the offense. And it's like, well, Michigan probably is not going to be that good next year. Even if you look at the schedule and say, that's a really favorable schedule. It's just a really weird thing to me. I mean, okay, if Jim Harbaugh leaves, all bets are off, of course. I mean, that's... Well, we've talked about that at the beginning. That changes the dynamic of everything in a hurry. But it's just one of those things where it just doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense to me why USC, we act like they're a year removed or 2 years removed from Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Pete Carroll. It's been a long time since USC has been a consistent, legitimate threat. Yes, every now and again, 2017, they have a good year. They follow it up with a couple not good years. And then they follow it up with, hey, look, maybe they're getting good. And then, you know, a Keaton Slovis comes out of nowhere, and it's like, oh, okay, maybe that's good. And things go differently. Obviously, they're getting a lot of transfers and whatever. Until it happens, I think that people should take a step back, because look at how we do this with Texas on a yearly basis as well. Every single year, it's like Texas is back, and then Texas is less back every single year than they were the year before it. North Carolina is another one that it must be something with Mac Brown associations, so it's whether it's teams he coached or teams he played or whatever. But North Carolina this last year went 6-7, I believe, and everyone acted going into the season like this is just the best team. Just last year we said the same thing and it didn't go well, but this year we're gonna be so right. And then it doesn't go well, and it's like, oh, huh. But next year. And now I'm looking at similar types of deals, and you see North Carolina's on that list again without Sam Howell being the starting quarterback. I just think it's funny because Michigan had long been that team to get the benefit of the doubt. And now that Michigan really truly has arrived, and I understand that people don't want to believe it, in a lot of ways, maybe it's because of the way it played Georgia. This is the same Georgia team that everyone was saying no one has a shot against them. Maybe Ohio State has a shot, but probably not. And then Michigan loses to them, and it's like, well, that's what we thought. It's just an unfortunate luck of the draw. It is what it is. It's just weird. just tired of the USC love. But at least, hey, maybe we're back to, maybe I'm back to hating USC. Been yearning for that. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Monday, we'll figure out what to talk about on Tuesday because we are in this kind of period of time where there's not a heck of a lot to talk about. So fingers crossed we have enough. We have 20-something minutes of something to talk about because y'all know how I treat this. If I don't have anything to talk about, I won't do it. All right, so anyway, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for watching and or listening. Peace.